Well, the rector and associate rector, along with the members of the All Souls Vestry, are away this weekend on a retreat up at San Damiano, which is just located outside of Danville, where they are planning for the life of our congregation in the coming year. So Father Phil asked me to preach today in his absence, and I am delighted to do so because as a mostly retired priest, I don't have the opportunity to preach very often. Several years ago, I attended an ecumenical conference at Stanford University where I heard two very fine sermons that made use of a device that was new to me. A Lutheran pastor from a very large, successful congregation preached a sermon 45 minutes long, and he used the word success as the points to mark his place in the sermon. So S was for service, and U was for undivided loyalty, and C was for Christ. Well, I think you probably get the point. The other sermon was by a Baptist who, you know, they're a little more long-winded than the Lutherans, and his sermon went on for, I think, an hour and 5 minutes or something, but who was looking at his watch? He had a smaller word. His word was build, but it still went for a long time. But I kind of liked that, and I thought, well, today would be a great opportunity, since I don't get to preach very often. And I thought, well, I could base my sermon on a very good Anglican theological term, which refers to something that isn't happening too often in the Anglican world these days. It's defined as being tolerant towards a wide spectrum of religious viewpoints. And that term is latitudinarianism. So it's 16 letters, and really 16 magnificent points. And I figure that if we start now, most of you will be home in time for the second half of the Super Bowl. Well, my instincts told me that maybe today wasn't the day for that sermon. And so I shifted gears and put the pedal to the metal and decided that I would preach on the metal that made California famous, gold. Only four letters, G-O-L-D. So let's go prospecting this morning for some nuggets in today's scriptures. We encountered three different individuals in the scripture lessons this morning. There was the prophet Isaiah. There was Paul, who was the author of many of the New Testament letters that we hear in church, and Peter, the fisherman who became Jesus' right-hand man. You know, it's easy when we hear stories from the Bible about Isaiah, Peter, Paul, Jeremiah, Mary, doesn't matter who. We hear those names and we hear those stories, and we tell ourselves, at least I think most of us do, that these people who were great enough to end up in the Bible clearly were special favorites of God. You know, the kind of people who would have God's super private cell phone number and his personal email address. But the reality is that those people really are not much different than any of us, if different at all. They had the same kinds of struggles, ambitions, doubts, challenges that each one of us faces on a daily basis. The context may have been a little different, but the basic human struggles remain the same. In that lesson we heard from Isaiah, he was in the temple praying, and he had this frightening encounter with God. Clearly, God had something in mind for Isaiah. And what does Isaiah do when he finally captures that message from God? He says, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips." He could have been a worshiper right here at All Souls. But if that happened to us, wouldn't we respond in the same sort of way? I am not worthy. Paul, who often comes across in his writings, I think, as holier than thou, and if you go back and read today's lesson, he's got a lot of that in there. He does manage to have a little bit of self-enlightenment in the lesson we heard today. And with some deep honesty, he finally confesses his own unworthiness to be an ambassador for God's message. He laments, "For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." In other words, Paul is saying that his actions have left him feeling unworthy of God's love and trust. And in the gospel reading this morning, we find Peter being challenged by Jesus to really go fishing. Peter says, "I've already done that, Lord. There's nothing there." So he's hesitant and he challenges the Lord. But Jesus says, "Go and do it." And Peter's thinking to himself, this is unnecessary and way too demanding. When it turns out that Jesus, the carpenter, is a better fisherman than Peter, the fisherman, like Isaiah and Paul, Peter has a profound sense of his own unworthiness. He says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." As I said a little bit ago, it's easy for us, as we hear these biblical encounters, to dismiss them. After all, we say to ourselves, we are not prophets, we are not apostles, we are not holy people like the people mentioned in the Bible. And more than that, they lived in an era that was religious, and we're in this highly secular culture, and we're not prone to having these dramatic life-changing visions and encounters with God. It just doesn't happen. But the story of the people who come to know God is precisely the story of those folks who encounter God in the ordinariness of their everyday lives. Just doing their job, and then boom, something happens. They have an epiphany, an awareness of God's presence and what God would have them do. Their lives then take on a new direction and meaning. Isaiah was at worship. Paul, earlier on, not in today's lesson, but when his sort of walk with God really began, was riding his horse on the way to Damascus when he's overwhelmed by God's presence and struck off his horse and blinded by the encounter. Peter was just a fisherman when Jesus comes up and sees something in him that Peter did not see in himself. So, this brings me to the G in today's sermon. G is for God. God who is in and through all things. Why do you think that the Bible, the first book, begins with the creation story to give us that fundamental message that God is in and through all things? And if that's the case, you see, God communicates most often and most clearly to us through the ordinariness of our daily lives, in and through the things and people who are around us. The question is, do we pick up on that communication? And then, if we want to, how do we open ourselves really to be aware that God is communicating to us? How do we see God's love and mercy in the world around us and in our own personal lives? How do we move beyond just kind of drifting along, taking our family, our friends, our talents, our freedom, our faith, our church, our very existence for granted? The answer, I think, is not all that complex. It's just simply to be, first of all, aware of the fact that God communicates. And if we're open and attentive to the ways of God, which are often subtle, we will experience God tugging at our hearts and minds and calling upon us to move in new directions. One of the ways of opening ourselves to God is by doing what we're doing here today, worship. Amazingly, sometimes God really does kind of hit us along the side of the head when we're worshiping. It does happen. Other ways to zero in on God's communication with us is just through very simple things like reading the Bible or other books of faith stories, or even sometimes good novels, or participating maybe in the upcoming Wednesday night Lenten series that's titled Five Steps to the Cross and Easter, or joining a small Bible study or prayer group, or making room in your life for praying and meditating and just sitting quietly and listening to what kind of thoughts God might be sending your way and what God might be calling you to in your life. When you listen to God and hear or feel those promptings to set out in a new direction or take on a new challenge, remember it's a very natural and human thing in response to God's nudgings in our lives to feel overwhelmed and inadequate to the task. That's the O in today's sermon, overwhelmed. God communicates, and most often we feel overwhelmed. Initially, Isaiah, Paul, and Peter felt overwhelmed by what they thought God was calling them to do. It's just natural to feel overwhelmed, to feel, as Paul did, that I am not worthy. So don't let that feeling surprise you, nor be off-putting. Just know that it's natural, and there's not a person of faith who hasn't experienced it. But being overwhelmed is not an excuse for simply doing nothing. So the question is, how do you move forward? God responds to that feeling of overwhelmedness that we get and the feeling of anxiety that comes with it by reassuring us that we are loved beyond measure, beyond anything we can ever expect to earn or deserve. God's love for us is fierce and unshakable. Again, one of the reasons worship is important and prayer and spiritual reading are hallmarks of most Christians' lives, or being involved in a small group of people who support you in your journey can be important, is because these are venues and ways in which we are reminded that we are loved by God unconditionally. The good news is always this, that we are loved and forgiven. The secular world does not convey that message to us. The secular world doesn't give us that kind of reassurance. Indeed, the message that comes across most often from the society around us is that if we want to feel good, we just need some more stuff, and that'll make us acceptable. But the truth is, we all know that doesn't ever really work. I always remember what John D. Rockefeller was asked when he was the most richest person in the world. How much money, Mr. Rockefeller, is enough money? He thought for a second and said, just a little bit more. And that's the way the message of the world works. Just a little bit more, and that'll do it. And God says, you don't have to go down that rat race. You are loved just the way you are. God's message is that God knows us as we are. He knows our secret sins and faults and loves and forgives us anyway. God assures us, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. I love you and we will be with you always. This is the L in today's message. God communicates. We feel overwhelmed. God, in response to that, loves us and reassures us. And when we finally allow ourselves to receive that love that the Lord has for us, then the time comes for us to make a decision. A decision to get on with the work God has given each of us to do. Decide what to do, and that's the D in gold. God communicates. We feel overwhelmed and anxious. God assures us of his love, and then we decide. Now, I wish I could say that sort of happens once in life, but that happens over and over and over again. What God calls us to do in our lives is as varied as the people that make up this congregation. Whether we're called to go off on a mission trip or project, like some of our 2030s group is going to be doing soon, or whether we work at the Open Door Dinner next Sunday afternoon, or we sign up to help with building a Habitat house or doing another building project that you can find out about today in the parish hall, or whether you embark on a crazy thing like I'm going to do, which is a 545-mile bicycle ride from San Francisco to L.A. in order to raise funds to fight AIDS, or whether you decide you're going to tutor needy children or brighten the lives of shut-ins. It's all part of the same tapestry of salvation being woven by God into our everyday lives. So if you want real gold in your life, not the fool's gold that the world tries to sell us, then remember that gold stands for these four things. God communicates his presence to you in countless ways every day, but you have to be attentive. When you sense that presence, often you're going to feel overwhelmed and anxious, but that's natural and that shouldn't prevent you from responding to God's call in your life. Know that you are loved and that that love will never be taken from you, that it's fierce and it will sustain you as you move in the direction God has given you to do. And decide how you can respond to God's call in your life and then move forward. The truth is that gold, really, you see, is all around us. You have but to take it. The choice is always yours. And that choice for gold, at least the kind of gold God gives us, is a choice that is worth making. I hope that this morning, as we sing the concluding hymn today, that you'll pay special attention to the words of that hymn, because I think they capture beautifully what I've been trying to say. And if I were really a gracious person, I just would have read the words of the hymn to you, and we could have finished a long time ago. But as I say, I don't get to preach very often. Every verse is compelling, but I want to end with the words from the last verse. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company, I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Amen.